Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 17th. On Wednesday, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation issued a forecast for the future of the Colorado River, and the news is not good. Luke Runyon from Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KUNC has been covering Colorado River issues for the last year. He said that the Bureau of Reclamation based its report on the water levels of reservoirs that the river feeds.
A shortage on the river is tied to the level of its main reservoir, Lake Mead, near Las Vegas. If it drops past a certain threshold, then water users downstream have to start cutting back. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation projects the lake will drop below that level next year, with cutbacks starting in 2020. The Colorado River watershed has been flirting with a shortage declaration for years, but it hasn't happened. The dire forecast comes as water managers in California, Arizona, and Nevada are negotiating an agreement that would force deeper water reductions earlier to keep Lake Mead from dropping even further. I'm Luke Runyon.
And according to the Denver Post, the report from the Bureau of Reclamation said that the Colorado River is so strained because of population growth and climate change that federal water managers may declare an unprecedented shortage and cut releases from reservoirs. Federal water managers are begging western states to do more now to cut water use. The report called on western states to develop drought contingency plans by the end of this year. The Colorado River is the lifeline for 40 million people in the West. The forecast issued on Wednesday anticipates a shortage in September of 2019. That would trigger reduced water releases from reservoirs in the lower basin states, including Nevada and Arizona. Colorado and upper basin states like Utah, Wyoming, and New Mexico would face increased scrutiny of flows from headwaters into the Lake Powell Reservoir. On Wednesday, Lake Powell measured 49% full, and Lake Mead measured 38% full. Federal officials are committed to waiting to declare a shortage until the water level in Lake Mead drops below the elevation of 1,075 feet above sea level. Then they'd cut deliveries, first to Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico. The water level in Lake Mead on Wednesday, 1,078 feet. Booming western cities like Denver, Phoenix, and Las Vegas rely on Colorado River water, as well as a significant portion of the food production base in the West. Colorado River irrigates 15% of the nation's vegetables, nuts, and fruits. Much of the 2014 Farm Bill expires at the end of September. This all-important piece of legislation determines federal funding levels for farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. It also determines SNAP benefits, or food stamps. As of March 2017, 476,000 Coloradans participated in the SNAP program, and 3 out of 4 were in families with children. Congress is expected to take up the Farm Bill debate by September 3rd, but as Tramell Gomes reports, there is a huge difference between the House and Senate versions of the Farm Bill.
There are stark differences between the House and Senate farm bills, and faced with the lowest farm income in 12 years, the country's two largest farmers' advocacy groups are calling on congressional negotiators to find a quick compromise. The farm bill provides support to farmers, ranchers, and rural communities, and also funds the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. House Republicans and President Donald Trump are pushing for stricter work requirements for SNAP that opponents say would make things harder for those in need. And Dale Moore with the American Farm Bureau says tariffs, trade disruptions, and lower commodity prices are taking their toll on the farm economy.
Our job as farmers and ranchers is to feed the world. So, you know, again, we're looking for programs that work, programs that make sense, just as, that same kind of approach is applied to a number of the other provisions in the Farm Bill.
There is no work requirement for SNAP recipients in the Senate version. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he wants a final bill ready for votes in the House and Senate shortly after Labor Day. Much of the 2014 Farm Bill expires at the end of September. Both the Senate and House bills claim to be budget neutral, but the House version would eliminate the popular Conservation Stewardship Program and make changes in crop insurance subsidies. The Senate bill would retain the conservation program and leave crop insurance payment caps and income limits the same. Moore says it's those kinds of differences that need to be ironed out.
We know there's going to be some tough debates on conservation, on ways to improve crop insurance, and certainly some of the regulatory reform issues that are so critical to helping farmers minimize the impacts of the economic stress that they get under, just dealing with federal regulations.
Even if the current farm bill expires, he says crop insurance is permanently authorized and commodity programs generally remain in effect for a commodities marketing year. But without more certainty in farm policy, Moore warns some farmers will go out of business. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And in a related story, nearly 1 in 10 Coloradans struggles with not having enough money to buy food, but efforts underway in the state's remote San Luis Valley are getting healthy foods to more people. Eric Galatis has more.
It's been just over a year since Colorado leaders came together to create a blueprint to end hunger in the state, and innovators in the remote San Luis Valley are leading the way. From doubling food stamp dollars at markets and grocery stores to helping small farmers deliver fresh produce to school cafeterias, restaurants, and food pantries, Liza Marin with the San Luis Valley Local Foods Coalition says the building blocks of a sustainable network that everyone can access are falling into place.
So we're trying to create an equitable local food system, that's our mission, that restores the health of the people, the community, the economy, and the ecosystem. We're getting down to the root cause and we are lessening the occurrence of food insecurity in our communities.
The coalition has helped secure land for migrant farmers to grow their own food when there's no paid work available and for new farmers to hone their skills. They've also developed a region-wide food hub, which works with some 60 small family farms to deliver food to retail outlets. The coalition's bilingual Cooking Matters program also teaches residents how to transform local produce into tasty dinners. Marin says lack of access to nutritious food, especially for low-income people in communities of color, can produce significant negative health effects. She believes processed foods with high fat and sugar content available at gas stations and convenience stores in the valley are significant contributors to the region's disproportionately higher rates for obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Marin adds people who live in town tend to have easier access.
However, many people live out. There's people without vehicles. There's elderly. It's really a chore to get into a grocery store. Some might open at 8, close at 6. If you work on a ranch or something, you have a hard time accessing a grocery store.
Marin recently received the 2018 Dr. Virgilio Licona Community Health Leadership Award from the Colorado Health Foundation. The award recognizes impassioned Coloradans who are finding innovative and effective strategies to overcoming community health barriers across the state. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, August 17th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.